about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Man, you guys were hilarious.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How come you don't have your own podcast?
Well, we did years ago, but we couldn't get an audience.
Yeah, we may as well have been on NBC.
I hope.
Well, you know, things have changed. I mean, if you get on a podcast network, podcasts can lead to a book deal, which can lead to a basic cable holding deal, which can lead to Hulu, which leads to Amazon, which leads to a Golden Globe speech where you're thanking the trans community.
I like all those things.
Except Amazon. They gave Woody Allen a show and they wouldn't take my humidifier back.
And now.
Okay, so, I'm about to really lose it. So I'm going to go to my office and masturbate, and when I come back, I'd love to hear some ideas.
Our feature presentation.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
To get some ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 13th of September. How much time did you spend watching the No Speed Chase last night?
None.
What?
Which one was this?
It was on, Lightning texted me and said it's on CBS Facebook.
Oh, man.
And I was like, it's not on CBS? And he goes, no, but the Facebook has had it for hours.
Yeah. Hours?
Yeah. It was a woman, in an RV.
Okay.
And apparently it wasn't hers.
Oh.
She'd gotten in to take a nap or something, and then the police showed up, and somebody called the police, and she was surrounded, and she just started throwing stuff out of the RV. Just throwing, it was just littered all over the ground around the RV. She was just throwing out, an ice chest and everything that she could pick up and throw out. She did.
And then she drove?
Oh, no, there was no driving.
Oh, was it a standoff?
Yeah, it was a no-speed chase.
No speed at all.
Yeah, she was just sitting there. She was taking a nap, it looked like, at times. Yeah, and they were surrounded. They had a couple dogs. They had a bullhorn.
Oh, my.
They had messages from her family telling her to come out, and I lost track after about 2.5 hours. I watched that for two and a half hours.
You are kidding me.
I didn't know. I'm not.
What else can she throw?
I was fascinated. And then he said, it's not hers. And I was like, well, that's no way to treat somebody else's RV.
Sure isn't, Kevin.
And then the guy in the helicopter kept calling it an RV. And everybody, it was on Facebook Live, and everybody was getting so upset. They're like, it's a motorhome. Stop calling it an RV.
I was not aware of the difference.
Same. So I tweeted about it some last night, and I always use the word RV just because I enjoyed watching people go, motorhome.
I now need a deep dive into what the difference is.
I don't know the difference.
Interesting.
I also don't know how it ended because I fell asleep. So
she could still be there.
She could still be there. Much worse things could have happened. I don't know. I hope not. I hope maybe she fell asleep and they just took her away, you know, peacefully. But it was odd.
Wow.
It was a weird way to spend your night. And I do not regret one second of it. I'll tell you that right now.
Impressive.
All right. I want to start today's show. You know, you always assume basically that people do things like you do.
Yeah.
I think that's natural.
Yeah.
Came across this story out of China, and it's about a guy who uses a straight-edge razor, which I've seen in barbershop movies. I've never really had somebody else shave me.
All those barbershop movies you watch?
I don't know. You know, when you show somebody, they lathered up and they use
it. It always makes me real nervous.
Yes, that straight-edge.
Yeah.
Right. So this guy's using that to clean eyeballs.
I'm sorry.
One barber from the Chinese city of Chengdu gives a new meaning to the phrase, keeping your eyes peeled.
Oh, man,
no.
Like
a doctor, maybe like a cataract surgery type of thing?
62-year-old Xiang Gaowu literally peels the eyes of his customers with a knife.
What? For what?
Great question.
Using the sharp blade to clean the iris from dirt.
I mean, use some water.
He's not using water. He's not doing any kind of surgery. It's not like replacing LASIK. It's not anything that helps them see better. It's just to get your eyes clean.
How dirty is this city?
He cleans their eyes with a straight-edge razor.
I don't think there's more to it.
The ancient tradition is very rarely practiced today due to risk of infection and injury to the eye.
Yeah, oh, you think?
Yeah, because the ancient tradition is a terrible idea. And then people learned and said, hey, let's stop doing that.
Yeah. How about some Visine?
Right.
But none of that bothers neither Xiong nor his loyal clients.
Now, he's got a bunch of people there. One guy sitting in a chair. It's outdoors. It's not like it's
no, it's
yes,
not
it is.
Outdoors.
It's outside. It's outside. It's outside.
Like on a stump?
No, but I mean, he's got a chair, but it's open to the outside.
Oh,
it's sort
no.
of, there's a line of people waiting to get their eyes cleaned.
I don't love it.
With a straight razor.
No, no.
Which keep coming back for more eye cleaning from the bizarre barber. Xiong Gao Wu runs an outdoor barber shop.
Outdoor barber shop. That's a thing. That right there is a deal breaker for
yeah.
me. I don't want to be outdoors.
No.
Where he offers the eye-watering practice. He starts the eyeball cleanse by scraping his customer's eyes with his knife.
That's a sentence that should never be said.
Right, and how does anyone sit down in a chair and go, all right.
And repeat customers.
Clean my eyes again. Good to see you. I'm back.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Shavings gathered from the scraping are collected by using an iron rod.
Okay. Now I'm throwing up.
I'm out too. That's so gross.
Oh my God.
Shavings?
Oh.
I mean, really,
what's
on
coming off?
What's on their eyes that's coming off? That's a great question.
Which has run beneath the eyelid. What do his clients have to say about the eyeball cleanse?
Okay, I don't know what he said.
Well, you should have said that earlier.
I didn't know what he said, you know, because it's in Chinese. But that's a thing.
Wow.
That's happening today?
No.
And he has repeat customers?
There was no video with that, was there?
There was.
Oh.
I don't think you want to watch it. It's not incredibly gross, but it is a guy. It's a close-up of a guy with a straight-edge razor cleaning eyeballs.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? You want me to show it to you?
No, sir.
You want to watch a little.
Hard pass.
A little bit of it.
All right.
Just a tiny bit.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know nobody likes you, right?
Yes. Ashley Esqueda is going to join us today, talking about the new iPhone that was...
Jeez, lit up Twitter yesterday.
I was only on the Facebook Live watching the RV,
mm-hmm.
So I didn't see all of the reports on the phone.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything more than that?
I don't think the iPhone needs to be glass on both sides.
Glass
so
on
you can
both
break
sides.
Both sides of your phone now.
Oh, great.
That's dumb.
That doesn't
right?
seem ideal. Well, she's going to give us a complete recap of what they mentioned yesterday.
Excellent.
We also have tickets for Prophets of Rage in the HD radio sound space. They're going to be here in the building playing.
It's amazing.
That's going to be so good. It's Wednesday, so we've got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Favorite.
Which everybody loves. And Pamela Adlon, speaking of favorites.
Love.
The director, the writer, the star.
Yeah. Does it all.
Of Better Things. Season 2 comes back tomorrow night, and she's going to join us in studio today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. About a half hour from now, we're going to talk to Derek Fisher, formerly, of course, of the L.A. Lakers.
D-Fish!
About Dancing with the Stars.
Huh.
You think he ever watched that show one time before he was on
it? Yes, of course.
That's what I think, too.
NBA loves dancing.
Do they?
Yes. It's a well-known fact. Mm.
5:53, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
California's not going to let us deliver weed by drone. That's some effed up stuff, right?
What?
Stupid.
Isn't that what we've all been waiting for? Mm-hmm. Just to have a drone show up over us and drop weed on us?
I have.
Right?
Yeah.
Stupid California. They're also banning shipments by aircraft, watercraft, and railroads. So I can't get a big locomotive full of pot to my house?
Right, like you have been?
Oh, ridiculous.
Why are they making all these?
Well, now with the legalization of weed in California, there has to be the California Bureau of Cannabis Control, and they will decide how people get their weed in a way that's safe and sane for the entire community.
I would shoot down one of those drones.
See, that's why we can't have nice things, because you're out there with a wrist rocket trying to take one down to get your high on.
I'm just saying, if you see a drone flying over your house and it's got weed, what are you going to do?
Let it go about its appointed duties.
That's ridiculous.
Here's what the cannabis control statement says. Deliveries may be made only by person in enclosed motor vehicles. Can't even get a convertible to my house with some weed?
It's pretty specific.
Cannabis goods may not be visible to the public during deliveries. You got to stash it under your seat, just like the good old days. Cannabis goods may not be left in unattended motor vehicles unless the vehicle has an active alarm system.
Because those work.
Vehicles used for cannabis delivery must have a dedicated active GPS device that enables the dispensary to identify the geographic location of the vehicle during the delivery.
They're taking all the fun out of it, aren't they?
Seriously.
Hey, cannabis control, smoke some of your own product. Relax. Chill the F out. Stupid cannabis.
Not the cannabis.
Control.
Okay, good.
Bureau. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have announced they're hiring 24-hour security, round-the-clock security for the surrogate that's carrying their baby. A lot of people are saying it's ridiculous because the surrogate, of course, will be protected by Satan. Hand in Hand, a benefit for hurricane relief. That was the name of the show last night, the big telethon from New York Times Square in New York City. Universal Studios in Los Angeles, the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Majestic Theater in San Antonio, plus all those stars we talked about yesterday. Preliminary results are in. It looks like it raised over $14 million. Wow. Didn't J.J. Watts do that in like a weekend?
On Twitter.
I thought when I was coming
in. What did it cost to put that benefit on? How much is it going to take
quite a bit
of that money before it gets into anybody's hands?
That was shockingly low, I thought, too.
That's the total?
Preliminary, that's the total result for money raised last night during the telethon, $14 million.
It was on all the networks and half of the cable channels, right?
Yes.
Huh.
Maybe people gave a week ago.
Yeah, that could be. A lot of people who would give gave already.
But they didn't have Kerry Washington asking them.
Well, true.
Mm-mm.
Give us some money.
What's that?
She said to them. Kerry Washington?
No.
Yes.
Not even a little bit. It's just like a silver S. No.
I don't think she does.
Sure she does.
No. Never heard that.
Well, watch it. Okay. Reese Witherspoon made everyone turn the channel. That's why they didn't raise any money.
What's wrong with you?
Like, I'm going to throw my television out the window. That's why they only made $14 million. Speaking of television, some shows have gotten pickups, as they're called in the business, renewals for another season. Ride with Norman Reedus. Thing on?
Yeah.
Ride with Norman Reedus.
That's where
he rides motorcycles with Norman.
Rides motorcycles places.
It's been renewed for a third season.
Oh.
2 months before the start of its second season, premieres in November. Season two, by the way, premieres with Norman riding in Spain alongside his Walking Dead castmate, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Okay. Right, Ralph?
All right, easy.
Who's with me, Ralph?
Easy, lady.
You watching it?
History Channel has renewed Vikings for a sixth season. Yeah, that's right. You heard me.
Sixth season?
Six seasons. And speaking of Kerry Washington and Shonda Rhimes.
Again, no.
They don't talk
Shonda
like that.
Rhimes is getting a new show on ABC. Shocking. The new series will be a Grey's Anatomy spinoff set in the Seattle firehouse. With a group of heroic firefighters as they risk their lives and their hearts in the line of duty.
Is that what it says?
Oh, my God, yes.
I thought she went to Netflix.
She sold this. This is was well in production before she changed.
Got it.
Changed ships.
But read that like description
couldn't,
again.
Couldn't happen a moment too soon. It's set in a Seattle firehouse,
mm-hmm.
and it follows a group of heroic firefighters mm-hmm. as they risk their lives and their hearts, both in the line of duty and while they're off the clock.
Wow.
Get this week's dog out of here.
I'm in.
Oh,
what?
See, this is the problem.
Did you say I'm in?
This is why we can't have nice things. Because these of the world walk around being all alive.
And by these, you mean women?
No, this.
Oh, Allie, okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
She keeps waving at me. And here's some good news. My buddy Seth MacFarlane's new Fox series, The Orville, had some excellent ratings in its debut over the weekend. The Orville took in 7.3 million total viewers.
All right.
In its 8 p.m. premiere slot, as well as the highest social media interaction of the day as well. More people talking about The Orville on social media than anything else on television. So congratulations, Seth. Hope that bodes well for you, sir. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ben Savage is 36 years old today. He's 36. Remember when he was just a little kid in the Wonder Years?
Sure.
Saying, oh, there's Winnie.
No.
That's what he wanted.
No.
Tyler Perry is 47 years old today. I guess we have to start calling it Tyler Perry's birthday now. I guess we have to call the whole day then. Swizz Beatz, 38 years old. Lily Reinhardt, the actress, is 20 years old. Jeff Ross, 52. And Fiona Apple turns 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk Dancing with the Stars. And former Laker great Derek Fisher is on the phone with us now. Hi, Derek.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Sure thing, man. Thanks for having me.
We were just having a conversation in the studio. How many people in the world are five-time NBA champions? In history, probably less than 20?
That's interesting. That's a good trivia question right there.
It is. And why don't you know? You're one of them.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We don't hang out and share stories together. So I'm not familiar with everybody else that's on the list.
You should have meetups. Five-time champion meetups.
I agree. I agree. There should be a community of champions. I agree with you.
Derek, of course, 18 years in the NBA, best known as the Los Angeles Laker. Dancing. Are you good at it?
Well, relatively speaking in terms of, and what I mean is, you know, similar to the way we all believe we can sing when we're in the shower.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
So not good.
I feel like I can dance when I'm, you know, at home, in front of the mirror or with family or messing around like that. But I am not by any means an actual dancer. I'm not a very, like, light, graceful mover. You know, if you remember when I played, I was very strongly built. I like to run into people. I like to take charges like that. That's my style. And so I don't know how light I'm going to be able to get, but I'm definitely working hard to figure it out.
If they have a 3-point shot, though, you're there.
Yeah.
Right?
Gonna nail that.
Exactly. I did
see video of your signature move, and I'm not going to lie, I got nervous because it's essentially you just moving left to right, and that's your signature move?
Yeah, because that's a safe, conservative move.
Mm.
Doesn't matter which setting you're in.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not going to hurt anybody. Most importantly, you're not going to hurt yourself.
Okay, all right.
Go,
I think he's playing it close to the vest here. I think he's got some better moves, but he doesn't want to give it away. He doesn't want to.
What if season premiere? He's just
my go-to move.
Oh, go-to
my signature move.
Gotcha.
Right.
That's my go-to move.
All right.
Okay. All right, because I have a feeling you're gonna wow us. First episode, what?
I'm
Let me show you this
to.
Mambo.
I'm gonna try to. That's for sure.
Now we've had friends that have been on the show, and they tell us that it's a tremendous amount of work. It's very difficult physically, demanding. Do you think I've always thought this, and I want to know what your thoughts are. Do you think athletes who are used to working hard have an advantage?
I mean, it's a fair question to ask. I think that athletes do have an advantage. Now, I don't think not just in terms of, you know, being accustomed to maybe a certain level of physical, you know, kind of effort and activity and especially the duration of it. You're talking about 5, sometimes 6 hours of it. But I think also being able to adjust to information, accept like coaching and critical construction, you know, constructive criticism and those type of things that I think sometimes maybe others aren't. I mean, you talk about other celebrities and stars that are the focal point of the show or the performance, and, you know, maybe they're part of a band, but it's only 4 members, whereas athletes are used to being next to 12 or 13 other guys or women. You know, football players used to being next to 52 other guys and coaches that they're used to sharing the spotlight, and I think that those type of things help as well.
As a player, you get a lot of input from the coach. You are also a coach. How will you be at taking instruction from your dance partner?
Well, I've had to learn quickly to be a really good instruction taker. Otherwise, you know, she'll make me pay for it. So I've learned pretty quickly to adjust, you know, out of my coaching mindset and back into my player mindset. To make sure that I am doing exactly what coach is asking me to do. She's great. She's fun. You know, we have great rehearsals, but she comes to work. You know, dance is what she does, and she loves to do it. And so I have to show respect to that, and she makes sure that I do whenever I step out of line. So we're having a good time.
When you got the call for this, had you ever thought about being on this show before?
No, I'd gotten called once before several years back and didn't have the interest and didn't really think about it. I don't think the schedule was going to work. I don't think that I had the mental and or emotional desire to do it at that time. And so when the call came in this time, you know, I'd always been hesitant in the past to do things that, you know, the people in the basketball world would maybe not take me as seriously, or, you know, if you do that, maybe you won't be able to get a coaching job or a front office job after that because people are going to think you're, you know, not focused on basketball.
Right.
And so I just decided that, you know, life is too short for that. And, you know, you should enjoy your life and do the things that you feel good about doing that excite you, that you know, you would do regardless of what people are going to think. And, you know, and that's what this opportunity presents for me. And I'm having so much fun doing it. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, kind of giving people a glimpse of who I am away from the game. And I'm a whole person. I'm not just, you know, the fish, the athlete. And, you know, I'm going to have fun doing some of this stuff.
Who's going to watch and give you the hardest time? Which one of your friends is going to text you every time and go, dude, that's awesome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, my mom.
Your mom?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a fan of the show already. And so she watches the show all the time.
Oh, no. Does she say don't ruin it?
She's familiar with the judges' names and the things that they like to focus on, you know, and what you have to be good at in order to impress each judge. She's excited. She's juiced. I mean, she knows I'm not going to ruin it because she's, you know, confident in her young boy.
Right.
But yeah, she will be the one texting me the most out of everybody.
She's going to also be having you watch some game tape, I assume, giving you some hints.
Here's where you did the kickball change wrong, Derek.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Derek Fisher is on Dancing with the Stars. The season 25 premieres this Monday, September 18th at 8 p.m. on ABC. And we appreciate your time today, Derek, and best of luck. We hope you win.
Thank you very much. You guys
have a lot of show to come, but nothing more important than this.
Never.
As it is Wednesday, and that means it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Which everyone loves.
Kids are far away.
They are. They're
staying far away from this bit.
I'm not sure
as
why.
They should.
Kids?
Yeah!
Okay.
Oh, they moved
right.
up. Okay.
They do. All right. Here are the stories on the wheel today. The exploding zombie caterpillars.
Mm.
The debarked dogs in Oregon. The zoo-escaping tapir that got stuck in a pond.
Oh.
The Australian deer that destroyed a funeral home.
Ew. Yeah, like he had the runs or something?
Yeah. How did he destroy it?
We'll have to see if it lands on it.
Ran out of toilet paper.
The turkey gang terrorized an Oregon town. And the monkey waiters at a Japanese bar.
Hmm.
So those are the stories on the wheel today. Let's spin it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Right. Nah, that was weak. Can I do it again?
Yeah, please.
That was weak.
Oh, monkey waiters.
Much better. My head did it. Now I got to do it again. Sorry.
Oh, for the love.
It stopped prematurely.
That's what they all say. Happens to everyone.
And it is the turkey gang terrorizing an Oregon town.
Oh, all right.
And we asked Dave, the King of Mexico, if he could hook somebody up.
Well, why don't we actually tell the story first?
Okay.
What it is.
We can do it in that order
before
if you want.
We go to, say, a council member from the town of Pilot Rock in Oregon.
In Pilot Rock, Oregon, there... I don't need you, Chip.
Why are you in a rush?
What's happening? In Pilot Rock, Oregon, there are 50 to 70 turkeys that are attacking the town.
And they're pooping everywhere. They're ruining landscaping. They don't know what to do about these turkeys.
And they have seen them approaching town. And when they get to town, they break up into smaller groups, splinter groups, and they just head off in different directions.
Like little gangs.
And they're so tired of it that they're trying to get the city council to do something about it.
Yeah, they're trying all different things, removing the food, building barriers, shooting shooting off guns. They are even thinking of trapping and transplanting the animals. So just a few different things that they're thinking about.
Probably one of the biggest complaints comes from Counselor Bob Deno, or Dino, I'm not sure, and I assume that's who we have on the phone today. So let's go to him and find out what it's like in Oregon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Who's Bob?
Bob Deno?
He's not here. He ran away like a scared bitch.
Oh, who's this?
I'm the leader of the turkey gang.
Are you on a motorcycle?
I am.
Wow.
We're a motorcycle turkey gang. Well, we're taking over this little dump, you see?
Well, the little dump is trying to find ways to kick you out.
Yeah,
I don't know if
good luck, suckers. Give me a baby. You like this? Yeah, look at that. Look at this hanging under my beak.
Is that sexy?
Big waddle, big wang bone. Come here. Gobble, gobble, baby. Gobble, gobble.
All right, here are some.
All right, what do you want?
Here are some of the things they're saying that they're going to do to stop
you.
Know
my name?
You. What's your name?
Tom.
All right.
Tom Turkey.
Yeah.
Tom. Okay. Here are some of the things that they're trying to do to stop you. Number one, remove your food source. So they're just.
Good luck. You know what? We got lots of food. We'll just drive through. We'll drive through. Hey, give me a burger.
A burger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold the burger, just the bun. We need a lot of bread.
Okay.
Number two is build a barrier to keep you out.
Keep it out. We'll jump over with our hollies.
Okay, so that won't work. So number three, make it uncomfortable for the animals so they decide to go elsewhere.
Oh. Hold on a second. I didn't realize they were going to make things uncomfortable for us.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you return to the same tree pretty much all the time. And
yeah,
so
we like the same thing over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
This changes everything.
Yeah, that might work.
Hey, guys, they're going to make us uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable, fellas. You don't want to be uncomfortable, do you?
What kind of gang are you?
Right?
I'm kidding. We don't care about
you. Oh, Tom, you had me going.
You were good at the phone in the beginning of the story. That was funny.
That's true. Number four, encourage.
You want to join our gang?
We're not turkeys.
Oh, never mind then.
Number four, encourage the animals to relocate by putting a food source someplace else away from town.
Mm.
Would you be tricked by that? Maybe they put some grain or some bread someplace else.
Grain or bread somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
Number five is trap and transplant the animals. So they're going to trap you and take you someplace else physically.
I like to see them try.
Oh.
Look at these wings. Look at these wings, baby. You got two tickets to the wing show. Right?
I don't think he's going to like number six.
Number six and the final suggestion that they have is to kill the animals and donate meat to the food bank.
Yeah, that would work.
LNOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Mama Mug's coming up in the next hour.
Oh, she must be so happy. They've turned the boat around.
Right? Ashley Escada also is going to be in the next hour telling us about the Apple announcement yesterday. But right now, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Last night, everybody watched Hand in Hand, the Hand in Hand telethon.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, see? Because you hate people who need things.
I don't.
That's the truth.
I don't.
A benefit for hurricane relief. Telethon raised over $14 million, according to preliminary results, which seems tad light to me, but what do I know? Of course, they're all the big stars. Stevie Wonder opened the show by launching into Bill Withers. Lean on me,
what?
Allie.
Oh, I thought you meant launching into him, like being mean.
He said, you, Bill Withers.
Damn you, Bill.
I'll
tell you who I hate.
It's not a lovely day.
Took a shot at climate deniers in his opening speech, by the way. Stevie Wonder did, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Huh.
Literally, even Stevie Wonder can see that climate warming is real. Literally. Yeah. He said, if you don't believe in climate warming, you're either, well, he was kind enough. He said, unintelligent or blind.
Oh.
So, there you go. Right?
And who it's knows, science.
Who would know more about blind.
Right?
I get it.
Justin Bieber didn't perform, but he did introduce a prayer, which when you think of prayer...
What?
You think of Justin Bieber. You heard me.
Huh.
He said, I'm super grateful to be part of this cause. We don't want you guys to just watch. We want you guys to be a part of this and donate whatever you can. Doesn't have to be much, just whatever you can possibly give, he said.
as he sat on his billions of dollars.
And then he introduced a prayer?
He introduced a prayer. He led three religious leaders, led a prayer for compassion. So next time someone in Texas or Florida needs their house rebuilt, just say, here's a prayer. This will help you. Huh. This will put your walls up. More music news. Now we're talking Monmouth University. Familiar with Monmouth University, Allie?
I am not.
Why don't you ask me? Maybe I'm familiar with it.
Because it's a place of learning.
All right.
Yeah. It is a very popular university in New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. And this may be a surprise, but they're going to have an international scholarly conference at Monmouth. It runs through April 12th through the 15th. Solely dedicated to the academic pursuit of... I've given you all the clues. What's the subject?
Black hole.
No, not a black hole.
Okay.
New Jersey being the optimum key phrase in that.
Bruce Springsteen.
A Bruce Springsteen academic conference.
Wow.
Topics will include Springsteen and the politics of culture, Springsteen and work and class, Springsteen as narrative poet, and many, many others. A week-long symposium on the academic studies of Bruce Springsteen.
Right. I hope we can catch up with him.
You have to submit papers. You have to take tests. This is a legit academic, scholarly look at the boss.
You'd take that class.
In a heartbeat, I'd take that class. I'd crush that class. I'd ace it. It'd give me one of those things around my neck and a flat hat.
For a 1 week
class? Robe.
To graduate?
Yeah.
Okay. Cap and gown?
They'd make me a doctor of boss.
Okay. All right.
My new degree. And speaking of music and legends, finally, what we've all been waiting for, Gene Simmons has put together the ultimate box set of his solo work.
Solo work?
I'm sorry.
You heard me.
What?
Gene Simmons has put together the ultimate box set of his solo albums.
I don't think I'm...
It is called The Vault.
Oh.
It is a 10 CD collection.
No.
No.
With more than 150 previously unreleased songs.
What are released songs?
Do we know any
of
his...
Come on, you know his smash hit singles.
Like?
From his solo career.
Por ejemplo. For example.
Like, oh,
sorry.
What?
What?
You know all the hits he had.
There's...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Catchy.
Here's a, you know...
I don't know a
Name
single...
Name one, Ralph.
A single solo song.
My tongue goes a-fishing.
I would listen to that.
It also comes with a leather-bound photo book, an action figure of Gene without his makeup, an In Gene We Trust medallion that you can wear on your neck.
That's worth it right there.
And other wonderful stuff. It'll set you back. What do you think it costs to get The Vault, the 10 CD collection of Gene Simmons solo music? Plus the makeup. Plus the action figure without makeup.
Okay.
Plus the medallion, plus the photo book.
I'm going to say $49.
This is Gene Simmons we're talking about.
I'm going to say $79.
This is
Gene Simmons. $99.
This is Gene Simmons.
$149.
This is Gene Simmons we're talking about.
$450.
$2,000.
What? No!
Now, wait.
There's more?
There's more.
But this is for all music no one's heard?
For $25,000.
Oh.
You can get to be an executive producer on the box set. You get a credit on the box set. Plus, you get some alone time with Gene in the studio listening to the scene.
I don't want that. No.
Nope.
No.
You can listen to the music in the studio with Gene.
No.
You guys can review the CDs yourselves individually. But wait.
There's more?
There's more. For $50,000.
Who does he think's going to do this?
Gene will personally hand deliver the box set to your house. Ding dong.
Hi, Gene Simmons here. I've got your box of music.
And then he hands it to you, and that's 50 grand?
50 grand.
No.
No. No.
It's the best deal ever.
No.
Best deal ever.
No.
No.
Best deal.
No.
50 grand.
Hell no.
Gene Simmons at your house.
No.
Performing My Tongue Goes a-Fishing.
No.
Live.
I don't.
In your living room.
I'd like to hear some of that first.
Sunday night. I want to remind folks, come see me and my buddy Kevin Smith. We're taking the stage at the Improv in Brea, California, coming down south behind the orange curtain to see you people Sunday night, 7 p.m. Come on out and see us. You can go
to
improv.com and get your tickets. You click on Brea. It's very simple to do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Savage is 36 years old today. Tyler Perry is 47. Swizz Beatz is 38 years old. Lily Reinhart is 20 years old. Jeff Ross is 52. And Fiona Apple is 40 years old. Remember when she had that Monster album? It's all you could hear on the radio.
It's huge.
No.
Less.
She's just an apple.
Oh. Fiona.
Sitting in a barrel.
I think probably animals. In a house.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't watch the news a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, because of kid and all that stuff.
Sure.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
But Ted Cruz has had a world of problems in the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz is a senator. Right?
He ran for president.
He ran for president, mm-hmm. Right. And sexual purience has sort of been... He sort of has very much championed, don't even masturbate. Like, let's as a government, clamp down on adult films, on pornography, and let's make sure that that stuff does not keep going. It's sort of been his cause.
Yeah, he actually said, quote, there's no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes. So you shouldn't even be touching yourself.
Right.
Unless it's medical.
Medical, right.
Unbelievable.
That's weird, right?
That's very weird.
So Tuesday, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas woke up to find his name was trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know exactly why. And it's because overnight, there was a video from the MILF Hunter series.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2 minutes long. The details of its contents, mostly unprintable.
Okay.
Pornographic actress Corey Chase, her fictitious nude stepdaughter, and a very energetic young man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was liked by Senator Ted Cruz.
Yes.
He hit that little heart button.
Yeah, he did.
And then people started noticing.
He got his heart on right then. Just clicked it. Yeah.
Right. And then people started noticing and people started retweeting. Yeah. And then there's an account called @sexualposts. And mm-hmm. that. And by the time he had woken up, it had been seen about 2 million times that he was favoring this porn.
And you say by the time he woke up. You're acting like he didn't do this. It was somebody else that liked it.
That's him. That's his answer.
Okay.
I'm not positive exactly what happened, so I figured that we would call him.
Okay.
We've got him on the phone and ask him exactly what the process was, because what a nightmare, right? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Ted.
We're doing well. Bad week, huh?
Well, bad week for the liberals who are trying to paint me. In a way that is not true. It's bad for them because the truth just simply doesn't support what they're saying.
Well, they're just saying, hey, Ted Cruz likes porn. I almost don't hate him as much.
Well, first of all, I don't think they don't hate me any less. I don't okay. think that's
probably
the case.
Good point.
And I did not like that.
I mean, it was clicked from your Twitter account.
That was a staffing problem. Created by a staff member who accidentally clicked that, and I had nothing to do with it. I was not involved in that by any stretch of the imagination. I have a long stand of being anti-pornography. I think it's dangerous.
Right.
I think it's detrimental to the country, to the moral fabric of our country. And I would not engage in watching it or liking it.
Well, how many people are in charge of your account?
Oh, several. 100,000 people.
Wow! So it's going to be hard to pinpoint exactly who did this.
It'll be hard because I don't like any of that kind of stuff, uh-huh. And I just hold on a second.
What's that?
It's a button on my computer here. That's the problem.
Huh.
Hold on a second.
Were you?
Hold on. All right. Okay. Got it.
Were you watching something?
No, I was. I do not like adult entertainment, as it's called.
Okay.
I do not have any videos called the Juanita Special Bean Dip. I do not have that. I do not have any clips on my computer that says the Taste Bud Army goes to the Cinnamon Cave. I don't have that.
I've never heard of that, but it's odd that you would bring it up like that.
I do not care to see any video that says vulcanize the whoopee stick in the ham wallet. I'm not interested
in that. I do.
I want to see that. Will you send us the link?
I would not like a clip that says pressure watch the quiver bone and the bitch wrinkle.
again. I'd like to see that.
I would not like a tweet that said, Cannonball the Fiddle Cove, ooh la la.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that one? What was that last one? I didn't hear because I'm writing them down.
Cannonball the Fiddle Cove, ooh la la, with the pork steeple. I would not watch that because I do not care for those types of things. I would not.
It's very specific for somebody who doesn't like that type of thing.
I would not watch Batter dip the axe in the gut locker.
Oh my God. You're the worst porn.
You're not even watching the good stuff.
There's no way I would like anything that says marinate the nether rod in the squish mitten. I would not like power drill the yippie bog with the dude piston. None of these things are interesting to me.
Well, I mean,
I would not watch a video called Taking Grandma to Applebee's.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
The Pasadena mudslide.
Nope.
Okay.
The mushy biscuit.
No.
The hot Carl candy cane.
No.
The gobstopper.
Right.
The flaming Amazon.
You sure have a lot of examples.
The flying Dutchman.
For a guy who doesn't like it.
The Christmas turkey carver.
Right.
The chocolate pizza milkshake.
Right.
The Brazilian flapjack.
Oh, that's good.
Snurd nuggling.
Nope.
The shop vac. The scroonicorn. None of these things are interesting to me.
None
of them.
What about the scroonicorn, though?
All right, a little bit with the scroonicorn.
Okay. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Ashley Escada about the Apple announcement yesterday and the new iPhone and all the hype surrounding that. First, we have Beer Mug in the studio.
Yes.
Muggs, we had your mom on about 3 weeks ago.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since then, they lost 16 of 18 games.
Yeah.
Since the last time we had your mom on, they went right in the tank.
What are you saying?
Yesterday, we decided to book your mom on the show to reverse the curse. And what happens last night?
They win. They snap the 11-game losing streak.
You're welcome.
We've reversed the curse. On the Kevin and Bean Show, reverse the curse just by booking her.
I believe that's true.
I believe it's true.
Mama Muggs?
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Maybe one of the worst Dodger fans ever. We've established that. She's been a longtime fan, but if the Dodgers fall behind in a game, she will turn it off.
It's ridiculous. Last night, for instance, last night it was the third inning. It was the third inning, and the Giants had gone up 1-0, and my mom turned it off.
And then I turned it back on later.
Right, but you missed all the runs scored by the Dodgers. You didn't see any of that.
I did see that. I saw the four runs. They scored four runs, and I saw them.
Okay, but why? Why did you see that? Because I told you to turn the game back on.
Well, thank you for doing so.
Well, why do you listen? Let's just spend one more second on this. Who roots for a sports team of any sport and turns it off when they're behind? Because many, many times in all sports, you come from somebody else takes the lead, and then you come behind and win. That's a normal thing. Who turns it off?
Considering their track record, I had no faith in them last night. I thought they were going down again.
I believe that's on you, though, Mama Muggs.
But I thought that they were going down, and why should I waste my time?
Mama Muggs, when you were last on, and then they went into this awful skid, were you like, sweet redemption, I am right?
I actually was.
You're the worst.
What did Kevin and Bean and the rest of the gang say about that?
We're calling you to turn it around. Mm-hmm. Last time we talked to you, they were 91-38, which is an incredible record.
Unbelievable.
Now they're 93-52, which is still a great record.
They have the best record in baseball still.
Mm-hmm. Still. And they clinched a playoff spot last night, if I'm not mistaken.
They clinched a playoff spot.
Okay.
Yeah, but they have too many deficits. They have a deficit in left field and in second base. They have no reliable people for those positions. And they have a weak hitting team. They just are weak.
Yeah, they all slump together.
I beg your pardon?
I said they all seem to slump together.
Yes. Turner hasn't been hitting, and I think that he should cut his hair and beard to be more productive.
Really? Oh. You wanna
So it's like a biblical thing.
You wanna give him facial hair advice?
Right.
But
like
reverse
Daniel.
Bible.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And what's wrong with them is they're not in sync. They're
right.
The four components are just not in sync.
Okay.
The bullpen is terrible.
You've got to hate this Yu Darvish trade, right? What's he done?
Nothing.
Right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. He's been very unreliable. I'll give Mama
that. Very unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Baez, the reliever, forget him. Get him out of the playoffs. He
All
is
right.
not reliable.
All right, but let me run something by you, Mama Muggs, because I'm a huge hockey fan, and I believe that peaking at the right time is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're peaking in the middle of the season where you're having this incredible run,
right.
you can't really keep that up. And I'd mm-hmm. almost rather see my team take a dip before you get to the playoffs and then get it back together and then start a run and get some momentum going. So that's
yes.
why we have you on the phone, because you started the slide. And now you're going to reverse the curse.
Well, I think I hear the fat lady. She's tuning up to sing.
Right, but you hear her every day. You hear her regardless of how the Dodgers are doing.
No.
You
just
do.
Just in the last 17 days.
You were so negative when we talked to you 3 weeks ago and they were on a historic run.
Well, because they have the same deficits they have now. They have left field and second base.
They've already won 93 games.
But will they? That a World Series does not make?
No, of course not. But it puts you in a good position to make a run for it. Of course it does.
Yeah.
Mama
it makes
Muggs,
a run for it, but I don't think they can win the World Series.
When you were last on and then they just started losing game after game after game, people were very mad at us. And my response was, is she a jinx? Or is she a prophet? So which one are you, Mama Muggs?
I am a prophet.
Oh, wrong answer. No, you're a jinx and we're reversing the curse right now.
We're reversing the curse by having you back on.
Reverse the curse.
What
I
happened,
like that.
What happened yesterday is we made the decision to book you.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, they go to San Francisco or San Francisco comes here. I don't watch
you. Yeah.
And they win.
Yes.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath too long.
All right, that's what we need.
That's
what we need from you. We need all that negative energy.
Keep it going.
And let's turn this curse right around and head right into the playoffs on a win streak.
Playoffs is one thing, but the World Series, look at the Indians. They won 20 in a row. If they go to the World Series, we're sunk. We're dead.
Or are they peaking at the wrong time?
Boom.
Boom.
Right?
Well, now's the end of the season. Now's the time to peak. Dodgers peaked in the middle of the season.
Right. Yeah. There's still time to peak, though, Mama Muggs. And we're having
a mini peak and then peak so hard in the playoffs.
Say what?
I said we're going to have a little mini peak right now, and then we're going to peak so hard during the playoffs, just carry us right into the World Series. Good night, Mama Muggs.
I really hope you're right. But
do
I'm,
you?
Let
I'm
me
not.
Ask you a question. First of all, I don't think you hope we're right. And second of all, if, and I know it's still, there's a lot of time to go, there are a lot of series to go, there's a lot of baseball to be played. If they do win the World Series, will we call you and you'll be bummed?
No, I won't.
Do you promise?
I will be happy for them, but I don't think they will win the World Series.
All right, that's what we needed. Perfect.
Perfect.
Reverse the curse. Thank you, Mama Muggs.
Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs, she hates the Dodger.
Coming up in the next hour, Pamela Adlon from Better Things. Season 2 comes back to FX tomorrow night.
I love it so much.
You're excited about that. Right now, we welcome back an old friend, Ashley Escada, on the phone from CNET, a senior editor at CNET. Good morning, Ashley.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
I am exhausted.
You had a long day yesterday.
Oh, boy, was it a long day.
Tell us about the Apple keynote.
Well, Apple kind of had a bit of a stumble earlier in the week because a huge leak got dropped. And so we kind of knew most of what we were going to see coming in. It was a new Apple Watch that is now cellular, so you don't have to have a phone tethered to it if you want to go jogging or paddleboarding, as they showed in the keynote. You can actually just make calls right directly from your Apple Watch, just like Dick Tracy.
Okay.
And then they had the Apple TV 4K, so it supports 4K HDR. They talked a little bit about some content deals they had.
All right, let me ask you about that. Is there a lot of content for 4K yet?
So I think there is at this point. I think you're good to one. I mean, you've got devices like the PlayStation 4, the PS4 Pro, which are 4K HDR compatible, and game makers are now making games in 4K and HDR. I think there's enough. You've got streaming services that stream in 4K HDR, and then also now you can buy Ultra HD movies.
Okay, so it's not like 3D TV, which came out for a while and I fell for, and then ESPN had a full-time channel, and all that kind of stuff, and then it all just sort of went away.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Poorly.
I think 3D TV and curved TVs are a little bit more gimmicky things that you don't want to invest in, but HDR, I think, even more so than 4K, is the real deal. I mean, it really changes what a picture looks like, so I highly recommend it. If you haven't upgraded your TV in a long time, maybe this coming either holiday or right around the Super Bowl might be a good time to upgrade your TV.
All right, what do we need to know about the iPhones?
Oh, the iPhones. So there were three iPhones announced yesterday, the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus, which generally I would say are pretty standard Apple iPhone upgrades. There's a little bit of hardware differences. You've got, slightly different handset. Look and feel, but not anything too terribly derivative. It's derivative from the iPhone that we have now. So
let me just ask you that. So is this the type of upgrade that Apple iPhone users should do now, or is it not that impressive and wait for the next one? Because you can't update every time they give one of these speeches. It's just not possible. You don't have that much money.
Well, I do.
You do, of course.
Well, so the thing is there, a lot of people have on their plans the upgrade, jump on T-Mobile, where you're able to upgrade your phone every year and you pay a little monthly fee. And it's basically you rent your phone for a year and then you upgrade it to the newest one, and that's how you do it.
Okay.
But if you're paying out of pocket, that gets expensive. Like you said, it's expensive to pay for a phone off contract. And so if you're, thinking about it and you have an iPhone 7 Plus, like I do, or maybe you have an iPhone 7 and you're happy with it, I don't know that you need to upgrade to the iPhone 8. I think that there are a couple of camera features. I know portrait lighting was really neat, which was you can take a picture of somebody and then literally change the lighting in that picture as if they, if you took a picture of somebody in broad daylight, you could actually change the lighting to make it look like they were very in dramatic, dark lighting in a theater.
Wow, we need that because every picture we take in this studio is terrible.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about that. I'm like, gosh, I can finally get some good pictures when I go see Kevin.
All right, so iPhone 8 starts at $699 if you're not working with a plan, and iPhone 8 Plus is $799 if you're not working with a plan. Tell us about iPhone X.
So iPhone 8, you can pre-order on this Friday.
Okay.
It's actually iPhone 10, according to Tim Cook. So
iPhone 10.
Pronouncement of it, but I think a lot of people just like OS 10 and OS X, I think people are going to call the iPhone X.
Yeah.
This is sort of a premium iPhone that they announced that has a lot of, I would say, kind of higher-end options and bells and whistles features, things like that. So the iPhone 10 has a full edge-to-edge OLED screen. So,
by the way, if you haven't seen OLED, that is amazing looking.
Yeah, just head down to like a Best Buy and go look at OLED TVs.
What does that mean?
And then, so it's a difference in the way that like a TV. It's a difference in the way that the screen is actually built. It's different technology. So when you look at an OLED screen compared to, say, it's almost like the difference between looking at an old plasma TV and then an old projection TV, right? So it's sort of deeper colors, like you get kind of a truer picture. They are really incredible to look at.
Side by side, if you were to look at the regular one and then look at the OLED, you would notice a pretty big difference.
Yeah, pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it's really noticeable.
Yeah, very noticeable. Even though standard LED and LCD screens are fine, they look nice. They're not
garbage.
Right, of course.
but OLED screens, when you put them side by side, it is really a big difference. And so they're calling this display a Super Retina display, which is like very in line with Apple kind of like making these phrases that kind of make me always laugh, like in the mouth. It's a little ridiculous, but you know, it's very sadly Apple, like they're, oh, it's Super Retina now. So OLED screen edge to edge. So instead of having, if you look at an iPhone, it's got these black bars on the top and bottom. That's your bezel. It's bezel-less. So it's, or almost bezel-less.
So you're saying it's like, it's glass on both sides.
It is all glass.
That's, come on, Apple.
You know, the new iPhones are glass back again. And so I don't know if you remember the iPhone 4, but there was a glass back on that. And people dropped them and they broke.
A lot.
A lot.
Well, have they upgraded it so it doesn't break? Because people will always drop phones.
Yeah, that didn't stop.
That's true. That's very true. And they're saying the material they're using is some of the most durable on the market, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, people always find, life finds a way, guys.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about this facial recognition, because I'm not going to lie, Ashley, that freaks me out.
I think a lot of people are a little bit nervous about this. So Face ID is, they're replacing Touch ID. There's no home button on the iPhone X.
Okay.
And so what the replacement is a facial recognition software that uses the front-facing camera, and they're calling it Face ID. And basically how it works is at the top of the iPhone X, there's an array of different sensors and cameras that are all used to identify you. So it's a 3D face scan. You can't just put a picture of yourself up to it, supposedly,
right,
and have it unlock a phone. You have to actively be looking at it. So if you are looking away and you hold the phone up to your face, it should not unlock. And it's interesting in that one of the things yesterday that all of us kind of came up upon was, well, Touch ID is now, Apple Pay is such a popular way to pay for things at, right, like, you know, a drugstore. But using Face ID to pay seems really weird and inconvenient because you hold your iPhone to the, you know, to the number pad, and it scans your thumbprint on Touch ID, and then you pay, and that's it.
Right.
Well, now is it that you hold your phone up to it, and then you hold the phone up to your face, and then you hold the phone back down? Like, we don't really know. So
I think part of the problem, too, with Face ID is that people thought that it was called the iPhone X, and then Face ID is not something that you necessarily want to match with that.
Right. Well, it's you know, people are like, well, this is super futuristic, and facial recognition software, as far as we've seen, has not been super reliable. Like,
how was it on stage? Phone. Did it work right on stage?
It did not.
Okay.
All right.
Craig Federighi went to unlock his phone, iPhone 10 on stage, and it did not work.
That's amazing.
Which prompted me to say, clearly this is a clone, and the iPhone knows. Like, it's Arya Stark, and a girl has no name.
I like that you went right there.
I mean, that's really where she probably stole his face. He's probably somewhere.
What if you have a
bowels of the Apple campus spaceship, that huge spaceship campus?
What if you have a giant head? Will it judge the size and say just one person at a time, please? Or what? How will that work?
You know, hypothetically, if there was a radio host with a massive head,
right,
and their name was maybe Mevin,
just for example, sure, right?
Mevin, I feel like I would be. I feel like it should work. So maybe Mevin would want to get a selfie stick to get a little further away.
Just walk 10 feet and hold it up.
I think Mevin would need that. I'm pretty sure.
Mevin might need to hire an assistant to just like step a few feet away just to unlock the phone. That could be a thing.
All right. So the iPhone 8 is $699. The iPhone 8 Plus is $799. And the iPhone 10 is $999.
Starts at $999 for a 64-gig model, and also goes on pre-order late October. So it's October 27th and then ships November 3rd. They're saying that because it's an OLED screen, they might have some supply issues, which, you know, we see this every year, and I never know how real it is. And I go, oh, supply is going to be constrained. Yeah, it might be, but also that might just be kind of like, ooh, guys, get your iPhones. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm always skeptical of that, but I mean, obviously if you want one by the holidays, because they do get back ordered pretty easily, like order a phone, like, you know, on the day that pre-orders open. But yeah, it's $999, which, you know, some people balked at that, but at the end of the day, if you're paying a monthly plan, and I know lots of people who have the iPhone 7 Plus, that right. is the highest capacity model, and that's $969 before tax. So it's literally a $30 difference. So I think for a lot of people, you know, it might be out of their price range, but for a lot of other people, they're already paying a monthly payment pretty close to a $1,000 phone. So, I think it's a good iPhone. Like, I know that Apple stocks, I guess, this morning opened down a little bit. So, I think investors, and that kind of happens pretty often, like, expectation meets reality for investors. And they always expect, like, Tim Cook to ride in on an actual unicorn and be like, oh, my God, guys, we figured this out. We made an iPhone that has a battery that lasts for 4 months. And, you know, it's like all these unrealistic expectations. And then the phone actually gets announced and it's, you know, it's fine. It's perfectly good and people will like it. And then the investors are like, well, we don't like that. How did you not, you know, change everything forever? Like, that's sort of the thing that we see every single year. But yeah, it was a good event.
All right.
I enjoyed watching it. I know that Animoji is probably going to be a big thing. This made me laugh so much. So they do this demo where you animate your emojis now with Face ID, with that technology on the iPhone 10. So you choose an emoji that you're familiar with, so let's say like a robot or a, you know, unicorn or whatever, and then it scans your face and you can create an emoji with it. Like, and it scans all your, you know, muscles moving and everything. So Allie, you can send like emojis of emojis talking just like you. But we all died laughing.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to creep everybody out with that. That's going to be fun.
No. I think we should have Ashley back on to talk about that next, for
all right.
sure.
Ashley Escada, we always appreciate you making time for the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow her on Twitter at Ashley Escada, and also she's a senior editor at CNET. Ashley, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
It is 7:54. Prophets of Rage are coming to K-Rock. Very excited about this. K-Rock presents Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space. You can listen all week to win. We're going to give away some passes just after the top of the hour with a game. If you want to call right now, it's 1-800-520-1067. You'll be able to come join us. The Sound Space holds about 125 people, so it'll be a very intimate event. And we're going to play a game. It's going to be September 21st. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. Ralph is here now for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
We're
going
to do 250 people. We're going to have people on each other's shoulders.
I don't think that's the plan.
That's the plan.
That is the plan?
That is the plan. Yeah.
Sounds like bad planning.
I think it's a good plan.
Okay.
Hey, happy anniversary to Pee-wee's Playhouse. Debuted on CBS on this day 31 years ago. Can you believe it's been 31 years since Pee-wee introduced us to the Playhouse?
I can't.
Cherry! Hi, Globy.
Oh. Ralph has to do his face every time he does that impression.
You have to, or else the voice doesn't come out right.
I've got fan mail.
This is from Israel. Shalom, Pee-wee. Show's the best. Introducing that to my daughter now. She's transfixed. She loves her some Pee-wee. Let's take a look at the show business news. Kate Hudson's in a lot of trouble with a lot of people. She did an interview with Cosmopolitan magazine, and the reporter asked her, "What's the laziest thing you've ever done?" Kate Hudson responded, "Have a C-section."
Oh, shoot.
Oh, wow. You do not
snap.
Want to get the angry mommy army coming after you, Kate Hudson, and that's just
excellent.
What happened.
That's not ideal.
Oh. "Which part of major abdominal surgery is lazy, Kate Hudson?" said one tweeter. "Nice to know that you think the majority of women who gave birth that way are lazy." Another woman chimed in. "All right, look. Sometimes C-sections are necessary for the health of the baby and the mother."
Correct.
"But studies have proven that it's usually in a healthy pregnancy better for both mother and baby to have a natural birth."
But then your hoo-ha gets all spread out and you're like, ooh, wow.
Good point. I didn't think about that.
Are you a doctor? Because that sounded okay.
Thank you for noticing. Yeah, they never did C-sections 20 years ago.
No, it's really become lately. It's much more common. And the country with the largest percentage of births given by C-section I found this out this morning on the drive in. You might be surprised, but I don't listen to the opening of the show.
What?
I listened to NPR.
Well, that is so
that
good.
Is to get some facts in my head.
And you missed a guy that uses a straight edge to clean eyeballs.
See? Meanwhile, over on NPR, I learned that the country with the largest percentage of pregnancies delivered by C-section?
India.
No. I think you're going to be surprised by the answer.
That's why I said
call
India.
Call in now if you know the answer. No, I'm kidding. Don't call in now.
Okay.
Okay, we'd be surprised by it.
Canada.
And it has one of the highest levels of obstetric medicine in their hospitals.
Okay, so a lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
Ireland, obviously.
Good guess, not the correct answer.
Mexico.
50% of all births are delivered by C-section in Mexico.
Is that right?
It's way more than any other of the civilized countries. Yeah.
Huh.
It's nuts. So there you go. There's your Mexico baby trivia for you.
Thank you for
that,
Ralph.
That's a gift. Share that with the people in the office today. You'll probably get lots of strange looks saying, why are you talking about babies?
A lot of tight hoo-ha's in Mexico.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
Not all seven?
Yeah. South Park debuts tonight.
Yep.
Brand new South Park. Here's a surprise. They're going after white nationalists in the season opener, so South Park not afraid to get their hands dirty when it comes to current events.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit, it's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
Actually, there's going to be one tonight. Maybe.
Yeah, actually, it might.
That might actually finally happen.
Deadline's reporting that the episode features tiki torch-toting white nationalists that have a striking resemblance to those that participated in Charlottesville. So I'm guessing some fun will be had at their expense.
I did see a character in their commercial that looked very much like Donald J. Trump.
What? Oh, I'm shocked. And while we're talking television, congratulations to Seth MacFarlane. His new Fox series, The Orville, had some good ratings in its debut over the weekend. Orville had 7.3 million total viewers in just its premiere episode.
Yay!
And as well, it had the highest social media interaction of the day as well. I believe they reran the premiere last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, did they?
Or is it tonight? I don't know. But it was either tonight or last night.
You're the showbiz guy.
I feel like you're on an episode and maybe should look into that.
I am not. I'm like not until like season episode 8 or 9. That's when things get really good.
So
and
don't
then
watch
less
yet.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we have Seth MacFarlane tomorrow.
I believe we do.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm pulling for a second season. I got to tell you, because my character was introduced this season in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
But those who know, the powers that be say, should the show get picked up for a second season, he might be a lot more.
And then spin off, clearly.
Then, right. Then action figure.
Sure.
Then a lot of conventions and me signing stuff drunk. That's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for as a career path.
I like it.
I'd like just to travel around the country, go to science fiction conventions,
drunk
Wasting. Off my ass.
Yeah.
Just say, here's another conventions. You wearing underwear? Those kind of questions. Huh. Speaking of underwear, I won't be wearing any Sunday night in Brea, California, if you want to come out to Hollywood Babylon.
Why aren't you trying to tease the show?
Test me and find out when you get there on Sunday. What?
You said testy.
It's Hollywood Babylon.
God, no.
Me. Look, me, I can get ooh for me, but Kevin Smith, he's great. You want to come see him.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman, Hollywood Babylon, Brea Improv, Sunday night, 7 p.m., go to improv.com, click on Brea, get your tickets.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Savage is 36 years old today. Real quick correction, not Wonder Years. Not even close.
It was Fred Savage.
Very different.
But
Fred,
just
Wonder
didn't
Years.
Wanna...
Ben,
okay.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Very different. Brothers.
Very much.
But different television shows.
This was a success.
But Ben probably did want Winnie. Everyone did,
everybody
right?
wanted sure. Winnie. But sure. Ben had Topanga, so Ben didn't need Winnie. Because between Winnie and Topanga, Topanga, hands down, all day long, twice on Sunday.
How's it going, Jensen?
36 years old today, Ben Savage. Tyler Perry, 47 years old. Swizz Beatz, 38 years old today. Lily Reinhart is 20. Jeff Ross is 52. And Fiona Apple celebrates her 40th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up, Pamela Adlon. She is the star of Better Things on FX, which is back tomorrow night.
How much did I talk about it last year?
All.
And you guys would be like, shut up, Allie.
I mean, a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're in.
But it's coming back tomorrow. So excited about that. Right now, we're giving away tickets for Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. And it's not going to be very easy.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, would you please explain to the listeners how to play this game?
We'll play you a clip from a Rage Against the Machine or Cypress Hill song. All you need to do is identify the band and the song title.
Well, that doesn't sound
easy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty easy.
Oh, I almost forgot. We'll be playing them backwards.
Oh,
okay.
It's hard.
All right, who's our first contestant, please?
First up is, hey, he wins. Congratulations. We've got a winner.
What sound effect issue?
Oh, what a shot. You're a pro.
Hey, tell him where to shut up.
Hall of Fame. First up is Chris from South Central. He's a drug counselor. You know where I can get some?
Hell yeah, all over the city.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, are you ready?
I think so. All
right, I'm going to play for you one time. It's backwards. Name the band and the song title.
Something the doctor sleep now on the fire.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was Cypress Hill Rock Superstar.
This game is hard.
It's not easy, you know.
Next up is Hector. He's from Diamond Bar. He works for Spectrum. Is that an evil terrorist organization?
Good morning, party people.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
All right, are you ready for your song?
Let's do this.
Good luck.
That's a Rage Against the Machine song.
Yes. And the title is?
And the name would be?
I'm going to say Killing in the Name of.
I'm sorry, it's Testify. This game isn't very easy.
They sound a lot alike backwards.
They do, yeah.
Coming up next is Tony from Buena Park. He owns a sticker company. His parents are so proud.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, guys. What do you do, nephew?
Are you ready?
I am.
Here's your song. Good luck. I like that version.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Tony.
It was Rage Against the Machine.
It was?
And it is,
And it's called.
The title of it is.
The name would be.
The title of it is.
And
it's not Killing in the Name of.
Okay, we don't need you to tell us what it isn't.
No,
it
name is. All of them that it isn't.
It's named.
It's no, named.
Easy,
I mean,
Allie.
I think,
easy, Allie.
The title is.
But we've given you too much time. It's Renegades of Funk. All right. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
This is hard.
Up next is David. He's in North Hollywood. He's an engineer. Woo-hoo!
Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, here's your song backwards. Identify it for us, please. That was pretty tough.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That was real hard.
Yeah, that was not easy. Yeah.
I would not know that.
Right?
I would not.
Same. And I love Rage. All right, David?
Well, you gave it away that you said it was Rage Against the Machine. So
you sure
you
did.
I mean, I thought that was a given. No?
Was it? Did you think that was a given? Oh, my Lord.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I miss Beam. I never thought I'd say this, but I miss Beam.
What do you think it is, David?
I want to say that was Guerrilla Radio.
Oh, well,
how about
excellent.
That?
Excellent.
right,
nicely
David.
Done. Hold on.
Helps when you know the band. Just saying.
Come on now.
Probably helps a little bit. Everyone knew that.
This was a success.
A little help there.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Francisco. He's from East Los Angeles.
Hello, Francisco.
What's up?
Doing Hardest Game 2. You ready for your song?
Let's do this.
Good luck.
Kevin, you want to say who that is?
Well, I think he knows. Oh, I think we'll let Francisco tell
Cypress Hill?
That is Cypress Hill.
Take a wild guess. Insane in the Brain?
I mean, that's close.
Close enough.
Insane in the Brain.
Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Brain.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Coming up next, it's Robert from El Segundo. That means the second.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Here's your song. Tell us what it is.
Cypress Hill.
Yes.
How could I just kill a man?
Yes, sir.
You can't understand.
Nice.
I can just kill a man.
All right, you hold on. I'm going to do a drawing.
Stop singing, Ellie. Right.
And the winner is...
Robert,
congratulations.
Robert! Oh,
thank you guys so much. I'm really excited. Thank you.
You're welcome. We will see you here at K-Rock, and thanks for playing the game.
All right, thank you.
Right, thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Robert!
Right.
Ellie, I'm a little bit worried.
I love her so much.
Because we haven't understood a word she said since she came in about 5 minutes ago.
And she led with Call Me Rooster. Oh, my God.
I'm on
right?
a juice cleanse. That's why.
Pamela Adlon is in the studio with us. We're very excited about season 2 of Better Things, which comes back tomorrow night on FX. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm at K-Rock. This is unbelievable. Oh, my God. I love everything about today. It's
I do, too,
best.
As well. It's the opposite of yesterday. It was a complete disaster.
We're glad you weren't here yesterday.
Oh, it was. I could have helped.
You could have.
You could have, yeah.
Really, anyone could have. Yeah.
Pamela, tell us about Better Things. For people who didn't see season 1.
Shame on them.
Shame on them, but describe what it is for them.
Well, I play a single mom raising 3 girls in L.A., and I'm an actor like me, mm-hmm. and I do, you know, a lot of voices, a lot of animation like me, have an English mom living across the street like me. So those are all the things that are like me,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest, the show kind of has taken off from season 1 where we kind of were establishing some people, and now season 2, it's... We're going deeper down some roads, and I kind of was able to tell stories in a way that I wanted to mm-hmm. as a filmmaker, and so I'm really excited about it.
Now, you write every episode.
I write them with Louis C.K.
With Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
Just Louis C.K., that's all?
That's the whole writer's room. It's
okay.
Him and me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you directed 2 last season, and then
that's
this
right.
season you're like, I should do more. So you
I should
did
do
all
the whole
10?
Thing. Yeah.
What? Why?
I know. It was easy.
It was easy.
I don't think that's normal
Listen.
For people to say, I created, write, star in, and I'll just direct all of them.
Well, because, you know, it's a very handmade show,
mm-hmm.
and it's my vision. You know what I mean? So I'm able to, it made things easier for other people, and my workload would have been the same. You know, I'm the showrunner, I'm the star, I'm the writer.
Mm-hmm.
I directed them all, and I had a fantastic crew. I have an amazing cast. I'm a mom, mm-hmm. so I know how to get the work done and not make people bleed, like suck all the marrow out of their bones. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We did 12-hour days, and, you know, everybody just felt like we were making something special. We were in something good.
Oh, my friend wanted me to describe it to her because, like I had told you
earlier, and Kevin knows this, I wouldn't stop talking about this show last year. I wanted everyone to watch it. And my friends were like, well, what makes it so different? And I said, you know how shows kind of beat the heart over your head, and they're like, this is a big moment. You're going to cry now. They're beating the heartfelt moments over your head. This show does that in such a gentle, often really uncomfortable, uneasy way that by the end of it, you're like, why is my face wet? No, you don't even realize.
Why is my face wet?
She says that
crying
all the time, by the way.
But seriously, it's just so it's
when
so
I met
gently.
You, I was like, why is her face wet?
It was just right? oily. I powdered. But it's just such a gentle way of going about it, but it's so heartfelt and sensitive.
Well, there is a particular way that I like to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to bury the lead. Yeah. I don't want everybody to know everything that's going to happen. It's just the way I've always been in terms of my storytelling. I'm not a comedian. I'm an actor, you know, so I don't tell jokes. I like things to unfold, and I really like the discovery. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like dark things that are uncomfortable. I like things to lay there like a fart. I have to tell all the actors, I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to put a button. Just let the moment just hang in the air. You know what I mean? And people aren't used to that because everybody wants to compensate somehow. Yeah. So, you know, I like dark, but I like heart. I like it to be funny. If it's just pure darkness and, you know, nihilism, like, that's not my thing. Mm-mm. I like end of the world stuff, but...
Sure. But that's a different series.
Who amongst us?
I mean, I love that.
Well, let me ask you a question, because it seems like a lot of the TV shows, they have these giant writing staffs, and then they write it, and then it all gets sort of watered down, and then they give it to somebody else, and then there's a different showrunner and a different director. Do you think yours is more... focused and it's more a voice of somebody because you do all of that?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that because
it's singular.
I look at all these other shows and they have a writer's room of like 20 people, and you know, and we can't compete with them in terms of like, you know, awards shows and things like that. It's just me and Louie. So I do think that the advantage is we both are concentrating on the voice and the culture of the show. And it's like...
And there's nobody along the way to take away from that.
No, no, because we're on FX, and FX is unbelievable. I know, like, I've said it a million times, and I'm not blowing smoke. It's just the most supportive. They make suggestions, but they're never, you know, you have to do this or anything like that. And so I'm able to do it. Louis and I have the same sensibility. We have the same sense of humor.
Did you learn that when you were on his show?
You know, I learned so much working on Louis with him. My discipline came from my dad, who was a writer. And then, you know, watching and understanding, working on Louis, I learned so much on King of the Hill. I mean, really about writing, because those writers were unbelievable.
That was an underrated show, I thought.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show. I learned a huge amount about writing from my King of the Hill writers.
So, Better Things is on FX. It comes back tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
Oh my God.
Pamela Adlon is here. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Pamela Adlon is in the studio with us. Better Things comes back tomorrow night on FX at 10 p.m. This is a great show.
Oh, it's so good. Thank you, guys.
It's relatable for so many different people. And I don't just think it's a show for women.
No, I was just going to say, I don't have a demo.
Mm-mm. No.
It's not just moms.
No.
Yeah, you also don't even need to be a parent to appreciate
it. Hello. My ovaries are dried up, and I love it.
Well, because everybody grew up somehow. Everybody was part of some kind of unit or family, unless you're the saddest person in the world.
And you grew up, like, in a closet by yourself.
Took a turn.
I'm not positive that's as funny as you think it is.
I know.
I was raised by wolves.
I know. It's probably more true.
What kind of response do you get from moms? Because the character on the show, you're not the perfect mom.
Yeah. You know, I get, you know, people have a very strong reaction when they see me. They they want to grab onto me and they're, you know what I mean? It's like, this is something that I needed when I was a new mom. Like, I felt inadequate. I felt like I couldn't, like, really measure up to, like, the other moms. And I was very insecure about, you know, how I was doing it. And finally, I just started to relax. I was like, okay, I don't need to be a room mom every right. year or mm-hmm. whatever. I don't need to compete with these freaking people. I can't yeah. make... like that kind of rice and meat and every day for lunch. I used to have this
rice and meat can be difficult.
Oh. Well, oh, that kind.
But
yeah.
that oh, yeah. kind.
That
right.
kind. I
but
gotcha.
Every day I would fantasize, like I would be like, can I look in every kid's lunchbox and see what their mom's made for them? And I wanted
just
to go
see
to
what
their...
kind of score you would get.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I would work so hard, but then you just kind of you kind of willow it down to doing the best you can. For right. yourself and your family.
And I don't think it's been that way for that long. I think just recently, like the past 10 years, women were given permission not to be yeah. that perfect mom.
Yeah.
And it's something like when I go out with my friends that are moms and they're drinking wine, they're like, I'll never be good enough. And they're laughing about it when if my mom had said that, she'd be like, I'll never be a good
That's
enough
so
mom.
That's so funny, though, because now it's like part of the zeitgeist. Yes. I'm a bad mom. What can I do?
Right?
Yeah, it's really true. Well, it's like it's this whole concept of people being like anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not anti-heroes. It's just being human beings. Yeah. You know, everybody's got flaws and ways that they excel and ways that they're not so good at things, you know?
I called my mom once and I said, Mom, I thought you knew everything when I was growing up. I thought you had all of the answers.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing now that you're just 100% guessing.
That's... Oh, my God. What did she say to you?
She said, why would you think I knew everything? And I said, I don't know. Just as a kid, you just assume that your parents know. When they make a decision, you go, must be right.
It's true. Mm-hmm. We have a way of kind of revisionizing our lives, our childhoods, things that we that hurt us, things that we say, you did this or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't even want to know what my daughter's, real life daughter's, the story that they're going to tell. I'm like, oh, God.
I would want to know that.
That's
it. I'm watching that show.
It's not in my hands.
Let's have them in tomorrow. Tell me about the three actresses that play your daughter.
Oh, they're magic.
They're great.
Yeah. They're so great. Hannah, Ali Good, Mikey Madison, and Olivia Edward. I think that's their names. That was pretty good. Like, pretty good. Okay. Anyway, they're amazing. Olivia is like a 90-year-old man. There's nothing like her. She's unflappable. Mikey is like a person who's forming right now.
Right.
She's just this... kind of new experiencing things and Hannah just, I mean, trial by fire. First day last season, the anti-patriarchy rally and doing that. I mean, this kid is from the Bible Belt and this is a different kind of experience for her. They all took in what I gave them last year, came back with tools, you know, and so this year... unbelievable, like straight out of the gate, Hannah, massive monologue, and these kids are killing it. I mean, Mikey's face, she's just like an alien, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, what is that? But she does look like she came out of my vagina, which is the most amazing thing.
She does.
Like,
she does.
Honestly does. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're all so incredible. I ask them to trust me, and they do. And I tell them, I'm not going to stop until I get what I need from you and until you get satisfaction. And, you know, working
So it's a sweatshop, basically.
Oh, it is.
I think that's what she's saying,
I
yeah.
think. That's what I'm getting from
oh,
you.
Oh, it is. I turn the heat way up. But, yeah, they're incredible. It touches me deeply to work with them.
Tell me about the woman that plays your mom, because she is awesome.
Celia Emery.
She's awesome.
Ew. Okay, in the first place, I was looking for somebody to play my old mom.
Right.
I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. I said, you know, the first day of the first fitting, she comes out of the fitting, and she looks like Annie.
Can't say the T
we
word.
We can't say the T word.
Oh, we can't?
So I learned that the hard way.
I had to get out of the delay twice now, so.
Okay, I'll stop.
You can say boobs
I
or breasts.
I said it twice.
Really?
Yeah, I got a stern it's talking okay. to. We so, should be able
I always
to say
get
it.
In trouble on the radio.
Yeah,
it's
well,
fine.
It's for a
Terry
good reason.
Terry Gross admonished me
one time. I love her.
Okay, no. But, so she looked a lot sexier than you thought.
She was very sexy. Yes. And I said, you got to go make her into a fluff. Like, I wanted somebody who could be a formidable, like Katharine Hepburn, Philadelphia Story woman, and also be a little old fluff.
Yeah.
And she's, of course, unbelievable. Game for anything. And
yeah, she's
just
a force of
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And you're up for an Emmy.
Yes.
How about that?
Who could have ever thought? I know.
I'm so happy for you because you're up against these shows that are huge monster hits with, you know, 60 people on the writing staff that are super well established.
Yeah.
So are you
and
saying
also
she's
Grace
not,
and Frankie?
She's not going to win. Is that what we're
no.
saying?
Or? Yeah, totally. But
no, no shot.
No, no,
no.
Were
I'm
going to
win the Emmy for potty mouth.
Well, I would give you
for.
One. I would
Thank
give you one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're up against Lily Tomlin.
Hero.
Huge. Jane Fonda.
Stop it.
Uh-huh. I know this is news to you. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What?
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Love.
Ellie Kemper.
Don't know.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They're alive, damn it. No?
Sorry.
Okay. All right. And Allison Janney.
My buddy.
Are you kidding me?
She's one of my besties.
You're up against royalty.
Yeah, it's true.
That's amazing.
Except that one lady.
The
know.
One. Oh, my God. I can't
you
wait
totally,
you right now.
You totally know who she is. You'll look her up and you go, oh, yeah,
Redhead.
Of course I know.
Bridesmaids and. Okay.
All right.
No, we don't need to.
We don't need to
okay.
do that. Well, the
Show
Emmys
me a
are
picture.
The Emmys are this Sunday night. And when you get up there, will you thank us or no?
Yeah.
I mean, if that happens.
I was told that this is the first year there's 27 categories. Mm-hmm. The most they've ever had, we're allowed to have 45 seconds. So don't say
joking.
Thank yous at the mic. Say it backstage and then they'll send a link to somebody.
Yeah. All right.
No, I was just joking. I don't expect you to thank
no,
us.
No, I feel like I should.
Yeah.
I feel like I should. Thank you, Chip.
Pamela Adlon has been our guest. You can follow her on Twitter at her name, Pamela Adlon. She is on Better Things, which comes back tomorrow night, season 2 at 10 p.m. on FX. We love you so much.
Thank you, guys. I love you, K-Rock!
How much do we love Pamela?
I miss her.
She's a charmer.
I miss her so much.
We had to get out of delay a lot because she's colorful.
I mean, who doesn't know that you can't say the T word on the air?
Well, you did twice.
Oh, twice.
Yeah, a lot
okay,
of
me.
People don't know that.
You
All
did
right.
that twice.
Me.
Because they think it's innocuous. I mean, George Carlin always said that was the most innocuous of the seven words you,
it
know,
is.
It
that
is.
You can't say on television.
It's absurd.
And when
it sounds like a snack.
Yep.
It is.
New cheese.
Burp. Yep.
Yeah.
And babies, it is a snack. That's where they get their nutrients.
Oh, that's
yeah.
where they get the nutrients.
Yeah.
Thanks so,
yeah,
so much.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad we've got a baby expert on the staff.
Well, I don't like to brag.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
21 years ago today, rapper Tupac Shakur was shot and killed in Vegas. How about that? Huh?
21.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Along with today's anniversaries, Scooby-Doo premiered in 1969 on this day. Law & Order premiered in 1990 on this day.
Wow.
Law & Order's been on the air for 27 years.
Yeah.
Still good.
Cha-ching! Boom, boom, doo doo ba boom, boom. Boy, 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 boy. Boom, 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 boom. Boom.
Is that supposed to sound like the theme?
It is the theme.
Just checking.
You don't know, man.
I'm just checking.
Boom, boom, doopa, doopa, boom, boom. Boom, boom, doopa, doopa. Don't you watch Law & Order?
I don't, no.
Really?
I don't watch
it's
Law &
based
Law.
On
Any
news.
Of them?
It's based on I news.
No,
I don't like news.
None of them.
Shows based.
SVU.
Have.
No, I said none of them.
Criminal Intent.
Well, here's the thing.
The original Law & Order.
None of them.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. I don't have a lot of time, so I have to pick and choose.
Oh, my God.
Like,
here we go again.
A lot of soccer to watch.
He's running.
I'm very busy.
Busy running.
I run so much. I don't have time for all the things that I do.
I do a lot.
You don't do a
I'm
lot.
I'm a very busy person.
You barely do.
I'm a very busy person.
Chico and the Man debuted in 1974.
All right. I'm done with that list.
Chico.
Here we go.
Don't you worry. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
8:55, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Pee-wee's Playhouse debuted on this date in 1986.
31 years-y! Chocolatey! La, la, la.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Michelle Rodriguez has high hopes for her character of Letty Ortiz in the Fast and Furious franchise. She says that she thinks the character's path is about female empowerment. And she hints that if things stay stagnant for her character in the next two sequels, she may have to move on. So she says she hasn't received the script for 9 and 10, although they are in the works. But she's insisting that her character makes some growth in those films. Because, you know, those films really are all about character arc and growth.
I mean, they're not as much
they
as
are they all are. About that.
It's more car porn.
It's all about acting then. And character development and interpersonal relationships.
It's really cool cars doing really
so
cool things.
I can see why she might demand that from everyone. Could Jim Carrey going crazy just be a big publicity stunt?
Oh, sure. I would believe that.
You know, he's got a brand new movie out called Jim and Andy. It's a documentary about his transformation into Andy Kaufman.
What did I say? He's pulling an Andy Kaufman.
Yep.
On the set of the 1999 movie Man on the Moon, showing Jim's transformation into the character. Documentary has Carrey look back at clips and outtakes from the film and comment on them 19 years later, reflecting how he and Andy came up in oddly parallel universes.
I'm sorry, the movie is clips of Andy Kaufman and then Jim Carrey talking about those clips?
It's clips about Carrey playing Andy Kaufman on the set of Man on the Moon, the documentary, the biopic about Andy Kaufman that he portrayed Andy Kaufman in. Okay. And how he transformed into that character, what that process was like. It's a documentary about that, about the making of that film.
Okay.
Netflix picked up the rights to that documentary. It was sold this week. Wonder if it helped or hurt all the press he was getting about his nutty behavior on the red carpet at New York's Fashion Week. I wonder. I wonder.
Fashion-y.
And Liam Neeson's man enough to admit his days as an action star are over.
Really?
He was at the Toronto Film Festival being interviewed about his next couple films, which are action adventures. But those are the last, he said. Still, he says film companies are throwing serious money at him to do these big screen action blockbuster films. But he said he's just too old. At the age of 65, he's told producers, eventually, audience is going to go, come on. Seeing a 65-year-old man run around with a gun like that.
But they haven't yet.
So he said he's done. But see, that's the thing. He is the smart one because he got out before people start saying, really? We're supposed to expect Liam Neeson, really, is going to jump off a cliff and land on top of a train without breaking a hip? Before those conversations are being had, he's getting out. Genius. His next film, by the way, is just a straight-up acting role. He plays Deep Throat. From the Watergate scandal.
Very,
no?
Very different, Kevin.
No? Yeah. Watergate scandal. Yes. Woodward, Bernstein, brought down President Nixon in the 70s.
It's
the Watergate.
Different. It's
Mark Felt was the name of the insider who gave them a lot of information about what was happening inside the Nixon White House. He's playing Mark Felt in that role. And apparently is terrific.
He is good in everything.
Sure. Kevin, you're an expert on the Watergate scandal.
Widely known.
Who was it really in the staff you think was pulling the strings behind that whole cover-up? The Nixon staff there.
John F. Kennedy.
Yep. That's what I thought.
Henry Kissinger.
That was a better answer than I could have expected.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Actually, Kissinger was somewhere around Nixon at some point.
That's great.
I'm going to take that as a win.
Really?
You should.
It was my second guess, and it's... You correct. It's correct adjacent.
You could have said John Dean. You could have said a Haldeman, Ehrlichman.
I know, but honestly,
anybody.
I got one of them in my second guess, so...
This was a success.
But really, Kissinger, I really had nothing to do with the cover-up.
But same time.
It's the same time.
They were in the city. Yeah. The same city at the same time.
So I'm taking that as a win.
I'm really proud of you,
Boy,
Kevin.
I wish I could get... I wish my win parameters were as wide as Kevin's are for what could be considered a win.
That's a win right
there. That'd be nuts. I would be the... I'd be so sick of winning. If I had those standards. Hey, let me give you a little something right now, people. Tickets to see the Trailer Park Boys. Come on! I love these guys. Yay! Ricky, Julian, Bubbles, Randy will all be there at the Orpheum Theater downtown. If you're not watching Trailer Park Boys out of Canada, by the way, you're missing out. It's such a funny show. They're doing it live on stage just in time for Christmas. December 5th is when they're performing. The name of the show, Trailer Park Boys. Dear Santa, go F yourself tour. That'll put you in the holiday spirit. If you'd like to see the Trailer Park Boys at the Orpheum Theater, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers through at that phone number, we'll get a pair of tickets to go see the Trailer Park Boys. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ben Savage of Boy Meets World is 36, and then he went on to do the sequel years later, Girl Meets World, about his own daughter who goes to school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tyler Perry's 47. Swizz Beatz, 38. Lily Reinhart is 20. Our pal comedian Jeff Ross turns 52. Fiona Apple turns 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do I go now?
Go now.
Okay. Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Thunder!
You...
Thunder! Thunder and the lightning!
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat for today. What's going on,
Ralph?
I
love that song so much. Bruno Mars is getting his own network TV special on CBS, they've just announced. It will air on November 29th. It's called 24 Karat Magic Live at the Apollo. I would have worked Bruno Mars in there somehow, but what do I know? 1 hour concert was filmed at the Historic Theater in Harlem on top of the marquee. Again, sounds like it would have been better inside in the building. This whole thing is ill-advised. Bruno and his band, the Hooligans, also get out on the streets, and they're hanging with the people, and apparently it's quite the event. So if you're a Bruno Mars fan, you might want to check that out. The end of November.
I love him.
He's a talented cat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I hope hope he saves his money, though, because he might have to owe a big chunk of it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
In this lawsuit that he's dealing with. You guys familiar with Zap? Is that Roger and Zap? Remember Roger and Zap?
Yeah, back in the day.
Roger and Zap?
Yeah. Sure.
They were a legendary funk band. And they are now claiming that Bruno Mars and the Mark Ronson song Uptown Funk is a direct ripoff of the legendary Zap tune, More Bounce to the Ounce. Yo.
Yo, part of the
From
title?
1980. They're saying, ripoff. Lawsuit. Chaos.
And they're just now saying that?
Just getting around to it. I guess they found out a song called Uptown Funk exists.
Just now.
There must be some sort of long, arduous process to get these things going. Because it always seems like these suits come years after the song.
Yeah, it has always
been around.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I thought we'd take a listen and see if we can hear any similarities between these two songs. The first one, of course, is the smash hit song from Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk. Take a listen. All right. You got that?
Yep.
Let's hear a little Roger and Zap's More Bounce to the Ounce.
I mean, they're both generic.
It's the same beat, but yeah.
But that's
guilty!
No, completely innocent.
Oh, sorry.
I think it sounds like it's just generic funk.
Oh, I see how you are. Racist.
So racist.
Racist.
So racist.
Yeah, just funk is generic now to you?
No, but those
seen one, you've seen them all.
Oh, wow.
They all look alike to me.
No one's saying any of that. No one's saying any of that.
The worst. Get your tiki torch and get out of here. Would you please?
Yeah, he's got on his khakis.
Right?
Halfway there.
It sounds racist.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Not at all.
I don't think this is much of a case. It's just that it sounds like a classic funk guitar riff.
Yeah.
It's
pretty much what I said.
That well, but you're racist.
Yeah, no. He said it different no, in right. a non-racist way.
Prince used to use that a lot, yeah. too. The same whack, 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 whack sound. So.
Every bar band that plays funk does that.
Correct.
All those funk bar bands that you see in all the funk bars.
I go to a lot of funk bars.
I didn't realize you go to a lot
yeah,
of funk bars.
A lot of people don't know that
well,
about
you
me.
You are funked up. I've always
Thank
said that.
Thank you for noticing.
I said, Allie. Mm-hmm. I say Funk Allie. That's usually what I
You do.
You say don't about normally say, that say it exactly that
My
way.
My nickname is okay. Funk Allie. Hmm. I go down Funk Allie.
Well, who hasn't?
Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Legendary member of KISS. And when I say legendary member of KISS, I mean primary revenue generator of KISS. He seems right. to like to make some money.
Sure does.
Why should he have to split it four ways, but he can get it all for himself? With his new project, his ultimate box set of his solo albums. All of his legendary hit solo work is now going to be in one box set.
Does he have one hit?
Of course he does.
And it's...
Look, my tall shoes.
This is it?
Look, comma, my tall shoes.
I don't think that's...
Which was a ballad, I think. It was
really?
A love ballad, yeah.
He doesn't have a single hit, right?
What about Poor So Clogged?
No.
From all that makeup he used to wear? Remember he wrote that sad song about how clogged his pores were?
I don't think that's a song either.
Uh-uh.
So how's he going to make money?
Lick My Eyebrows?
No. On solo music that he doesn't have.
The Vault is the name of the box set, Kevin, is a 10-CD collection.
Of what?
Of 150 previously unreleased songs from his work away from KISS. Here's why we never heard any of his solo album. Apparently, it was never released.
He never released any of it.
Well, he's got it now in a 10-CD box set. Comes with a leather-bound photo book, an action figure of Gene without his KISS makeup, so just basic Gene. Action figure.
I mean, don't you want the makeup?
That's an inaction figure more than anything else.
Don't you want the makeup if you're a KISS fan?
How about a medallion necklace that the medallion reads, In Gene We Trust? And other things also involved in the box set.
Sure.
Uh-huh. This set can be yours for the low, low price of $2,000.
I'm sorry.
$2,000.
None of this makes sense.
You mean $200.
No, I meant $2,000. But there's more.
Oh, you
if you'd
more?
Like to be an executive producer and have credit on the box set, and you'd like to spend some alone time with Gene in his studio listening to the CDs, you can get that package for $25,000.
No.
And if you're smart, you will get the $50,000 version of the box set.
I'm sorry, if you're smart.
You get the $50,000 version, which means Gene personally hand-delivers the box to your house.
I don't want him knowing where I live.
Don't you want his hands on your box when he delivers that? When he delivers
Absolutely
that
not.
Box set to you,
Absolutely
then you can say
not.
To your friends, "Look, Gene Simmons had his hands all over my box."
Nope.
I mean, yeah, you phrase it like that.
See, I knew I'd get you. So
that's $50,000.
$50,000 package right there. What happens for $100,000?
Oh,
does
think
he
you
whack
know.
Somebody for you? Like you got an enemy and Gene Simmons, he takes him out. He hits him in the back of the head with a bass or something. I mean, right? He'll do anything for a dollar.
I would think so.
So, thinking for $100,000, he'd probably take care of somebody for you. That's what I'm guessing.
Here's the thing about Gene Simmons. The man's got a ton of money.
Yes, he does. I'm so glad you noticed, Ellie. Thank you.
But the hustle is still there. He wants more.
The world is not enough for Gene Simmons.
I don't hate it.
Really?
You don't hate it?
No,
you
I
mean
don't.
You don't hate the amount of effort he puts in?
Yeah, I don't hate the hustle. It's
but what
impressive.
If it's all a scam?
Yeah, he's making
it's a total scam.
How can you like it?
Because people will pay for it because they love him that much.
We'll see. In a related story, you can get a replica of Paul Stanley's legendary 1979 KISS guitar, the Ibanez purple cracked mirror electric guitar, for $7,000 from Ibanez. Now they're offering those.
Does he bring it to your house?
Nope, just $7,000. You just get a guitar. That's all. See, Paul Stanley doesn't have the hustle. He's missing out on the deal.
Yep.
You can have a 50,000 version where he comes to the house, plays it in your living room, rubs it on his butt, and then gives it to you.
Especially is that what you
butt,
want?
The butt edition.
Yeah, I don't want butt juice.
I don't want that.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Huh?
Ben Savage. Oh, by the way, real quick correction. This wasn't me. This was the source that I got this from. We were talking about that hand-to-hand hurricane relief telethon that happened last night.
Yes.
And we were talking about what they took in. And we all said how disappointing and strange it sounded that they said the preliminary numbers were in. They had raised $14 million for the charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seemed low considering it's on all the networks.
This was a typo. Typo in the source material that I got this from.
Oh, okay.
$44 million is what they raised.
Wow, okay. Night.
That's better,
yeah,
right?
That's great.
That is more than 14.
Million dollars raised by the Hand in Hand Benefit for Hurricane Relief Telethon that was on last night. So
that's great.
My correction. I apologize. Wanted to get that information out there. Ben Savage starts off today's celebrity birthdays. He, of course, from Meets World. 36 years old.
Boy
today.
Meat World is very different.
I read that once. Boy Meat World. Tyler Perry's 47 years old today. I know why I made that sound.
I'm not sure either.
I wish you wouldn't. Swizz Beatz is 38. Lily Reinhart's 20. Jeff Ross, our buddy comedian, Toastmaster General, 52 years old today. And Fiona Apple celebrates her 40th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got Seth MacFarlane.
Oh!
We have Dr. Drew on the show like we do on Thursdays. We talk sports with Jim Rome, and we have Jimmy Tatro, the star of American Vandal.
American Vandal!
Plus,
stay away from me!
Your ticket to see USC versus Texas, and your ticket to see Prophets of Rage in the HD radio sound space here at K-Rock. That's all tomorrow morning.